Welcome to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, give us a follow on your favourite streaming platform. Welcome to the show, everyone. Today we're joined by Lisa Lee. Lisa is technical lead at And Digital. First of all, it's great to have you join us today, Lisa. Thanks so much for taking the time to come on the show and have a chat with me.
Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure. You know, to get things started, could you give us a little bit of background on And Digital and just and what that is as a business?
Yeah, sure. So And is a consulting firm. Our aim is to help business to transform their digital path. So we do, you know, our clients from startups to medium size to even Lloyds, so big and small. So any business needs any digital transformation work to be done, or need recommendations, or they're in the middle of transformation, they need any additional support, we can help with all of those tech projects. Also, and expanding to UX side as well, product design, product maps. Yeah, it's really cover, you know, the tech side of the full landscape.
Amazing. How did you get to your role as technical lead then? What's your kind of background and history? How's that played out for you?
Yeah, I think it's great. I started working tech after my kind of a graphic design degree. Right. Course, so I am from quite a graphic background, so I guess so I was lucky. I guess when I started, there was a web was start to really growing, so I entered almost like a web design and then moved to web development. It's really started from there. Then I worked for startups and also the kind of medium-sized organizations, and then e-commerce and consultant. It wasn't planned. I was fortunate enough to pick up different tech stacks and join there. It just grew from there.
Yeah, interesting. It's really interesting because, you know, I speak to a lot of people on this show who work in technology, and I'll ask the question, you know, what's the history and all that kind of thing. And it's really interesting because no one really has a linear career path really in technology. Everyone seems to kind of be like, just kind of go wherever feels right. I don't think if you asked someone in technology, have they got a 5-year plan? I don't think anyone does. Is that the way you see it?
I feel it always evolves. That's for sure.
Exactly.
I think we always have a plan. Okay, you have short term, medium term, long term. But as you know, no one predicted a pandemic, right? We just have to evolve with it. And there's always a plan, but maybe the plan will change as we go.
Exactly. And that's the thing about technology, because it's just moving so fast. You know,
that's right. I can remember when I started mobile development. At that time, Nokia was really dominated mobile device industry, right? And at that time, I worked for this basically startup company. They were great. They developed a Java platform which support 8,000 mobile devices. Wow. At that time, we thought, whoa, that was amazing. And a couple of years later, obviously, the 3G come along, and then 4G, and then the iPhone come up, and then that kind of technology is thinking, oh, look, normal web development can develop, the mobile kind of platforms, and then things change. So the startup company, I think there was the Java based that can produce something can support 8,000 device, isn't as popular as 2 years later, because the phone capability just really evolved and then become much adaptive for the development and for normal web developers. Yeah. So no one predicted we can just do everything in our phone, right?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it, to think? And then, and yeah. also throughout your career, so and at this level of your career, you're a technical lead, but you've moved from a tech developer to a technical lead. So what was that transition like to you from a developer to a leader?
For me, I think it's kind of a gradual process. I guess I started to leading different projects like as a lead developer. And I have to say, as a tech lead, it's definitely there are loads of soft skills required. So it's not just the technical capabilities. It is involved how you work as a team, I guess, rather than individuals, how you engage, make sure everyone work on something and feel engaged. That's the difference between a lead developer to like technical lead. There are loads of engagement meetings. Definitely with AND, that's technical lead is involved, clients engagement, pre-clients engagement, and also technical maps for the whole company rather than just one particular project. And it is kind of, I'm still learning it. It's a lot of context switching. So you know, 1 hour you were doing the coding, probably half hour later, you got to jump into another call with different clients just to see what is their requirement. So it is very interesting. Every day is different, and multitasking skills that definitely required.
How did you get from, you know, junior to senior? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people listening out here that are in that position where they're a junior and they're thinking, you know, I've been in a junior role for say 2 years and they really want to move up to mid-weight or senior level. How did that happen for you? Is there anything you'd recommend or advise?
I've been asked this question for many times now. I think different organizations different to start with. For me, how do I classify a junior or mid-level to senior? I see a junior, if you talk to a junior, they will understand the package, such as, you know, the front end, back end, they know what that is about. They know, you know, okay, I know about it, but I don't know how to do it. They're able to ask questions. So I see middle level, they know how to code. But when they when they stuck, they know how to Google it.
Right.
So they know kind of what topics to really Google. For me, a senior, so they can start something which from completely, you know, from the skeleton level, mm-hmm. from bottom to top, they know how to set up project without any help, without any, you know, guidance. But, you know, Google is always there. I'm not saying you don't Google it, but you need to know Google the right thing.
Exactly.
Google is the ocean, right? So much information there. You need to get the right information, see, to choose the right tools, the right package. And there are so many suppliers there. Make sure what is reliable, what is not. You know, even you don't know, for senior developer, even you don't know which one, at least you know to what to watch out for, what to try out, and then realize is not right. For me, that's the different. Also, I think a senior developer, we always have something new. We don't know things, but for a senior developer, they can catch out things much quicker at a very early stage, rather than, you know, someone fresh start, maybe a couple of months down the line, they say, oh, something is not quite right. But I, as a senior, they can catch up. Even they've done things wrong, they can catch up quite quickly, perhaps, you know, within a short development period. They know, okay, we need to refactor this. I'm not sort of this right to start with. So they're aware the mistake make quicker, and they can start up a project without any help. That's the difference for me. In terms of how you're going to develop to that, and I guess it depends on individuals. Some are really into it. For me, you know, it's not about 9 to 5 kind of. If you really enjoy development, it's not just 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And a lot of developers probably agree with me that the best code being written probably is kind of like after 9 o'clock, midnight, everything quiet. You stuck into it. So But it's still to do with how many hours you put in. The same with everything, you
with
know.
Everything,
you,
yeah.
You put your time into gym, and then you kind of you got really fit body, and the same as development, you know. There is difference of 5 hours coding during the day to, you know, 15 hours coding for the day. It is the more you do it, the better you get, and the more understanding you get. Yeah, it takes time, but it depends on how much you do it.
Yeah. Do you still, in your role now, do you still have periods where you have to have like deep focus, where you're just concentrating without any distractions at all for like quite a long period of time?
Yes, in order to resolve some, you know, complicated issues, you have to. So most of my coding time now is at night.
Really? Is it really?
So, yeah, the daytime is just too much noise. There's meetings, it's quite switch on, switch out. And I think the most, just recently, because of lockdown, I picked up run. I'm not a natural runner. But a lot of things when I couldn't figure it out, couldn't get my head around, you know, why that is happening. And especially with kind of legacy system. So you haven't really developed from scratch. You just blend into the team to try to work out why it's broken, what is a better way of doing it. Any of those complicated issues, the idea is always comes when doing my running, because that's the time I have kind of free time for me to think. And sometimes I'm just not even deliberate to think about it, just come naturally. Yeah, that's just figure out a way what works for me is kind of like quiet time when there's no distractions and there's no dinner, kids are in bed, no meetings. That's the best time for me to work the technical things out.
Yeah, it's funny because my brother he's an iOS developer, right? And his period of deep focus is like between 7:30 in the morning and 10 a.m. And if you disrupt him at all in that period, even asking for a cup of tea, you know you're disrupting him. It feels like he's coming out of the focus and then, so you just can't. You've just got to leave him to it. Do not disrupt.
Do not disturb. Right. Sometimes you kind of, it's difficult to get in and get out. It takes a bit of time to get into, to understand complexity of a certain functions. The focus is definitely a must.
I really admire people's ability in, you know, to have that deep focus every single day for, you know, periods of time, because it's really mentally strenuous work, engineering. It really is, and it's must be very mentally challenging and taxing, constantly figuring things out. But it must be also very rewarding as well. Do you still get? Do you still feel that buzz? Do you still get that buzz from engineering?
Oh, I do. Yeah, no, I do. I do all the time. So, I think. Yeah, well, when I started my career as in IT, you know, you sometimes get this kind of feeling you're a bit panicky, you know, I don't understand why it's not working. And then gradually I grew into, I really enjoying this kind of task, and it's almost like a no pain, no gain. So you get really, you feel like, you know, quite difficult to tackle. And when you manage to find a solution, that's kind of really a joy. Anyone really enjoying development, they will understand, you know, and that kind of joy when you come. It's almost like you go through that tunnel and you come out to the end of it. You think, oh, that's a bright sunshine.
Amazing. How did you find it? So the start of your career, it's quite, and the industry, the tech industry is kind of notoriously male dominated, isn't it? Sadly. But how did you find that at the start of your career? I mean, how do you find it in your career anyway, being quite a male-dominated environment?
Yeah, I think it's getting better. We're encouraging more women into tech. There's different aspects side of the tech as well. I guess at the beginning, when you just fresh come out from the college, there's always thinking, you know, should I wear, you know, a dress, or should I wear just jeans? You know, I can blend it in better with the guys. And I had that kind of, you know, wasn't sure how I'm going to blend in with the team. And then I guess it really, and gradually, you just people really don't care you're male or you're female. It's really to do with the work you do, how focused you are. And gradually, I just see them, you know, as people.
Definitely.
It is to do with how you, perspectives, I guess, how you preserve yourself, just not feeling, being dominated in any way. But at the beginning, I tried to blend it in. Probably 15 years back in IT industry, and we're still kind of like smoking culture was quite strong. you go for break and people go for smoke, that kind of thing. Always wondered, should I join? Should I stay in? Should I go for break? And that kind of thing. I feel like if I don't go out, you feel like I'm not part of the team.
Wow.
But I think it's to do with how you see it yourself. But I become more and more aware, you know, people are different and you just have to accept that. And we have to embrace the diversity in the environment. And it's definitely getting a lot better in tech, but she's still definitely more males than females, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, do you think it's going to get even better? Do you think it's going to get better, continue to get better in the future? I mean, we could go down a whole rabbit hole here and talk about how to get more women in tech, but that is a whole conversation for definitely a different time. Do you think we're on a tipping point where we're going to see a lot more females coming into technology? And what would you say the reason for there being such a lack of females in technology is?
In some way, I think for people to really enjoy coding, and it has to be really focused, logic mind. I think I was just naturally good with math. So it is, I do believe people think, IT, coding, you have to invest enough time and able to like it. It's, at the beginning, it's always a bit hard, almost like you learn chemistry, right? You have to remember certain things before you can really understand how you get into the details of it. Whereas some, such as teaching art, maybe that's more more kind of natural flow as we've been, practiced since we were young, as language skills. And analytics skills with IT, I guess we do have to learn to develop. And naturally, women are more, naturally, not all women, they're more emotionally aware.
Absolutely,
so yep. Naturally, there's certain jobs, they're more, kind of more, women are naturally quite good at it, start with. But it doesn't mean men are not. Still, some men, really caring in the nurse and the doctor side of our sector. But for, I guess we have to encourage, IT, there's, a different dimension side of it. Once the women going, I've known some women started as, a business analyst and moved to QA and moved to development because there is kind of a transition. She saw, she probably won't able to do the coding, and then she joined the analytics side, to work out what a website should look like and what his requirement should be. And she thought, she could do that. She wasn't sure about the coding. But gradually she grew. She think, I can do it as long as I understand the domain and then you can grow into it. Is that kind of fear people probably think, I'm not too great at math and not too great, on the logical side of it. Am I good at coding? But I think the coding skill is kind of a training process. The more you do it, and then you can grow into it. It is really the first step. And how much you're enjoying it. I think we'll grow, but I do think there is a difference between men and women. there are certain individuals, but in average, men are taller than women. That's just, biology terms. And I do think there is a certain degree, naturally, women and men are thinking differently. And for coding, for that definitely coding side of the IT, they're more kind of need logic thinking, reasoning, and more focused. But in average, probably more men are good on those things than women. But certain women are good at it as well. But we should encourage it.
Definitely. It's those differences in, you know, the way men and women work are absolutely crucial for technology. Both equally important. And I'd love to see it, you know, say, if in a dream world we had 50-50 split between men and women working in technology, I think that would be so amazing for technology and developments and how things would be in like the next few years. I think that would be absolutely amazing. But unfortunately, we're not quite there yet. But
not quite there, yeah.
Maybe in the future.
I think we'll grow, yeah. I think we'll grow. Given technology, I think if you talk about any company, any domain, and the only technology, you know, is not something, you know, used to be. Technology is, you know, is industry by itself. But I think you will see a big movement of technologies embedded in every single domain, every single organization. So therefore, you know, we have to encourage women and men work together. And the other things, I think when I early on in my kind of IT career, I've been told by one of my mentoring a manager, and he was saying, you know, when you find a woman developer and they had, you know, if women can do it, they're really great because they have more patient and you know, eye to details. So normally an application or software developed by women, they probably more reliable, has less bugs because they thought about more.
Is that something and digital that you look out for now when you're hiring? Do you always look for females, or what do you look for essentially?
We embrace all cultures, all backgrounds. Diversity is one of our key beliefs. So we do believe people from different backgrounds and race, sex, and also you know, domain knowledge. We work together is always better, and can really move things in a better direction, or faster, or more a completed solution. So that's what I'm looking for. So we do believe equality. So, and therefore, again, it's not just women, men. There's also, you know, from different background as well. We do have people join, and, you know, not from our IT background. And they all, some are from biology background, and some even from a dancing background. You know, we pick up people, we grow people. In the way, you know, where their passions lays, we can use people's skills from all different sectors in hand.
That's what I love about the tech industry really as a whole, because it seems to be one of the only industries that is really thinking about diversity on this level. I imagine other businesses or like sectors, maybe more traditional industries like, I mean, I don't know, maybe banking or sales or other things like that, more traditional, aren't really thinking about diversity the way that technology is. So it's amazing that, you know, and digital, for example, is, you know, really thinking about diversity and can really see the difference that having a diverse company can make to the business. It's crucial. So I love that about the technology industry, and it's great that and digital are really taking that on, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's a start. You mentioned about banking and sales or retails. It's kind of a notion. We would just get better. So we understand that the importance of diversity. We know that everyone's different. We work as a team, can work a lot further than you focus as an individual.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm interested as well, maybe just to wrap up here, Lisa. I'm interested in when you started your career. Take it right back to the start of the conversation. So you studied graphic design, right? Is that right?
That's right.
So then, are you a self-taught engineer? Are you a self-taught engineer then? Or did you study?
Yeah, so I started as as I mentioned, as a web designer and a web development. So in that, I self-taught some bit of, you know, HTML, CSS, and browser, that side of we call it front-end technology. And when I started, there was still like a Flash. I don't know if you can still remember Flash.
I do remember,
there was like an action script, and then, you know, those banners, and got a bit of a moving image, and we were all excited about it at that time. And starting with that, so I self-taught most of it. And as I mentioned earlier on, you know, the more you do it, the better you get. And I always had that belief, you know, it's a human job. If other human can do it, I should be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, you're right. You're definitely right. Do you think it's important to choose a tech stack? Or do you think it's, you know, is it better to have like kind of a little bit of knowledge of all, or is it more beneficial to choose one and be an expert?
I think, you know, the tech stack will always change. When I started, I mentioned about ActionScript, and what is ActionScript? Probably a lot of people don't even know it now. And then was evolved to DraftScript, and then we had a jQuery, and then we had the React framework as front, and then we got Angular. So the tech stack will change. I do think it's good to pick up fundamentals. So if we talk about, you know, a web application, you know, get really understand what HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and what is it doing, and functional programming. I think that's important. Get understand the fundamentals. And in terms of pick up tech stack, I do believe if you understand one tech stack really well, I had, you know, the .NET background. I've worked on it for a number of years. I got a Java background. I worked with Oracle for a couple of years.
Wow.
So once you get to, and now I'm in kind of, I'm a strong believer of, you know, the community-driven frameworks. So I'm, you know, more into Node and that kind of tech stack. But it didn't take me long to transform from one tech stack to another tech stack. I think they have a lot of similarities. So if we can focus to get really, develop from one tech stack to a senior developer, let's just say within 3 years, maybe 3 to 5, depending on how much you really have the opportunity to code, and become really understand, you know, what is functional programming or object-oriented programming, and understand the fundamentals, you know, what is a good structure for a program, for a piece of applications, you know, solid principles, all of those things, fundamentals, understand all of this. And then when you move to one tech stack to another, is really quite not a huge gap to transform. You just need to understand the syntax and understand what is limitations of tech stack, but you can easily pick it up as you code it. I do think at the beginning, you know, understand one tech stack really well, and then you can really move along depending on where the interest lays, really.
Mm. Brilliant. That's brilliant advice as well. I'm sure a lot of people will get a lot from that. But I think maybe, Lisa, that might wrap up for today. It's been absolutely wonderful to chat to you. It's been really interesting as well. And you're doing some amazing work. So keep up what you're doing. And it'll be really interesting to see, you know, follow and digital and see what that's doing in the future. And so thanks so much for taking the time to do this. I appreciate you're very busy. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform.